verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 6, and then we'll read St. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Appreciate everyone being here. All of our visitors, we're glad you're here. Seen Brother Greg Tinsley come in back there a while ago. He surprises me every once in a while. But that's my Tinsley brother right there. He still has the T on the first name or the last name there. But we did live a part of our life like brothers, and I love Brother Greg very much. Praise God. Y'all ready to read? You got it up for us? All right. St. John chapter 14. Some of you probably have it memorized. You can quote it by now. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. St. John 10 and verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Praise God. I've spoken to you so many weeks about the culture that we find ourselves living in as Americans, and the things that have changed in many of our lifetimes from a culture of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness to a culture of death and dying, and so many things have changed that have taken people's minds away from the good things that they should have to look forward to, and they become distracted with death and destruction. And that is because the enemy is on his mission. I know Jesus is on a mission. I don't want to focus on the wrong one. You've done a great job with that today, Brother Carlton, that advocate and that adversary. But Jesus warns us again here in St. John chapter 10, in verse 10, amen, that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so we have to acknowledge that the enemy is on the rampage. He's coming against the church, and he's coming against everything that pertains to God. The reason the enemy works so hard on human beings is because we are made in the image and the likeness of God. Even our breath is from God. When God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. So if you wonder why that you're under attack, and you wonder why so many things are coming against the human race, it's because we constantly remind our adversary of God. We are not a God. We are not a little God. I'm not saying that, but we are made in the likeness. We are the sons of God. Can somebody say amen? He came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. We've spoken about the Good Samaritan and those that judged life and didn't really see it in the correct perspective, the priest and the Levite, and then the Samaritan comes along and realizes that there's still life in that one, and feels like that it's worth doing something for. Again, when David found that man that was in the field, when they were pursuing those that had burned Ziklag with fire, and he felt it was in his best interest to give that man something to revive him. And when he did, his spirit came into him. Hallelujah. Last week, I talked to you about Ezekiel when he prophesied to that valley of dry bones, and God let the breath and the wind of God come upon them, and there stood up on their feet an exceeding great army. Hallelujah. How many is going to help the preacher preach this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Again in Ezekiel chapter 16, where he said to that one that was polluted in the blood, he said to them, live. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's always the will of God to pursue life. It's always the direction that God would have the church to go. Amen. But I know that we're living in a culture where many that are even inside the church have been distracted by things of this world and things that will bring destruction and things that will bring death. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you this morning. The church also, even as I've been preaching this last few weeks and trying to preach about the things in our life and in our culture and in our world. Amen. Also, the church of the living God needs to have a perspective on life. Amen. I don't think there's anybody here that would say, I want to go to a dead church. I want to be a part of a dead church. I don't think that is the case at all. But I want to tell you something. Amen. The church, help me preach now. The church of the living God, the New Testament church as we know it, was born in a culture of death. It was born in a culture of death and distraction. And all kinds of things had happened. Amen. Even their Lord and Savior, the one that they had trusted in, had been crucified. Are y'all hearing me preach? Amen. The New Testament church, that church that was born that day, on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, amen, it was born in a culture, in a time, amen, where the Romans had control. And if you don't think the Romans were vile, if you don't think they were sinners of the worst kind, you haven't done very much studying in history. Amen. Oh, what are you saying, preacher? Amen. I'm full aware of the things around us. I'm full aware of the culture of death that is around us. But I want to tell you something. Amen. That of the same God that breathed life into a church in the midst of a dead culture, in the midst of a culture of sin and despair and destruction, is still the same God that would like to breathe breath into your church. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. In St. John chapter 20, the disciples found themselves much like that situation I read to you and preached to you about last week in Ezekiel chapter 16. There wasn't anyone there to coddle them. There wasn't anybody there to nourish them. Amen. I know Jesus had been with them. I know He had handpicked them. I know that He had discipled them. But now, it's up to them to birth a church. It's up to them to see it go on. Amen. Oh, yes. It was time for the New Testament church to be birthed from the teachings of Christ and come out of the womb. Amen. A living, strong organism that would change the world in which it was birthed. Can you say amen? And thank God there were those that were willing to surrender their self and their heart and their life to Christ to be used the way He wanted to use them in that church. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. St. John chapter 20. If you start out that chapter, you will find the women had went out to the cemetery. They'd gone to the graveyard early in the morning. Amen. That first day of the week. And they had found the tomb was empty. Amen. Nobody there. Hallelujah. They went back and told the other disciples. They got in a foot race to run out to the graveyard to see if what the women were saying was the truth. And sure enough, they went inside. Amen. And Jesus Christ was no longer in that tomb. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. And it seemed like that would encourage them. And probably it did somewhat. But still yet, they were running in fear. They run back to the house. They locked up the doors. They were afraid of the Jews. Amen. They were afraid they might be the next one to be arrested and crucified like their Lord and Savior was. Amen. And right in the midst of their fear,
right in the midst of their despair. Amen. Later on in the evening of that first day of the week, Jesus, amen. I said, Jesus, amen. Are you hearing me preach? I said, Jesus, come into that room where they were, amen, and begin to talk to them. But before he left, hear me right now, before he left their presence on that first day of the week, amen, he breathed on them. Amen. The same day and evening, being the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he shewed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Hallelujah. I think we'd have to say that's an understatement. But then Jesus, amen, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come on, church. Do you want to be alive? Do you want to have God's life in you? Do you want to have the breath of God in you? Amen. I tell you what you need to do is get filled with the Holy Ghost. Say, Jesus, breathe on me. Breathe on my church. Let the breath of the Holy Ghost and the wind of God come to where I am. And I'm telling you, folks, that is the only thing that will sustain life in this world in which we live. Amen. Same as that babe was in Ezekiel chapter 16 is the way the church is. I mean, it is on life support. It is held up behind closed doors. They are scared out of their mind. They don't know what to do. The body of Jesus is gone. What are they going to be accused of? They needed God to touch them. They needed the Spirit of God to come by where they were. Amen. While they're wondering, while they're confused, amen, and all they needed was for Jesus Christ to breathe on them. Oh, will somebody get a hold of this morning? Amen. God can breathe life into you and everything in your life that is dead. Amen. Dead marriages, dead churches, dead things that are in your life can have new life today in Christ. Amen. If you'll allow him to breathe on you. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'd like to compare this to the life, to the church, to the life of the lad, of that Shunammite woman. 2 Kings chapter 4. And I know probably most everybody here would be somewhat familiar with the story. We know that Elisha was a great man of God. The mantle of Elijah had fallen upon him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Wouldn't you like for the Holy Ghost to breathe on us this morning? Amen. Don't forget, a while ago we were singing about a servant's heart. Amen. Would you just open your heart up and say, Holy Ghost, I need another refilling. I need that breath to come in me again. I need that regeneration of life in my spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. The very existence from the birth of this young man is all a miracle. His whole life is a living miracle. Hallelujah. Elisha would pass through the country. The word says there was a woman, a great woman there. Amen. And when the man of God would come through, she would fix a meal for him and take care of him. And she had an idea one day. She said to her husband, let's just build a house on the wall. Amen. And let's just make it especially for Elisha. And we'll put a candlestick in there. We'll put a bed, everything he needs, man. This will just be like the Holiday Inn Express. He can just come by here. Amen. Any time of the day and night, he can just check in and go right. Everything he needs is in there. Amen. One day the servant said to Elisha, "This woman's been so good to us. Is there anything we can do? You think we could do something for her?" And Gehazi went and talked to her and said, "Would you like us?" I'm telling you, Elisha was a man. He was a man of men. He was plugged in. He knew the king. He could get an audience with the king. And he said, Gehazi said to her, "Would you like for Elisha to speak to the king for you? Would you like for us to do something?" She said, "No, I dwell among my own people. I'm fine right where I'm at." But that servant of the man of God picked up on the fact that woman had no child. Amen. And he just mentioned that to Elisha. Oh, hallelujah. And they went back to her and said, "According to the time of life, you're going to have a son." Oh, wish somebody would say praise God in the house. Amen. Wouldn't you like it for the Holy Ghost to say, "It's about time for the time of life life over at Bethany, and I'm going to go down there and breathe on them again." Amen. Come on, church. You remember we had prayer revival the first week of January, and the Holy Ghost breathed, and Sister Dina come and stood about right here and got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sometimes we forget too quick. Amen. It's a reality to what the breath of God can do to a church when He breathes on us. Hallelujah. Lift your hands, worship God, please. Come on, let's give Him praise, church. Let's give Him praise. Amen. Come on in here. Plug on in a little bit here this morning. Amen. God wants to give us life. God wants to give us breath. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen, and you've sought it and sought it and sought it, amen, I want to tell you something. All it takes is for you to be in the right place at the right time. Amen. And the wind of God come through, and you just open up your mouth and your nostrils and your eyes and say, "Come on in, Holy Ghost, breathe on me and fill me," and it will give you a whole new perspective on life. Can you say amen, Sister Dina? Oh, what a change. Hadn't it been great to watch her grow? Hadn't it been great? Did y'all notice this morning she was sitting on the back seat while Noah was singing in the choir? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Don't tell me living for God won't change your life. It'll change your family. Amen. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Changes the little children. Oh, God help us. Amen. I tell you what's happened to a lot of us. Even though our roots are in miracles, even though the New Testament church is all about a miracle, if we're not careful, we will let things die in our life. I compare that to the church. This lad, his whole life is a miracle. He would have never been born had it not been a miracle. The same as the New Testament church would have never been born if it hadn't been a miracle. Amen. But one day when he was grown, he goes to the field with the reapers. Amen. Wow. And he said to his dad, "My head. My head." And at noon, he was pretty much downed. Father sent the service to take him back to his mama. Amen. Now, that's not supposed to happen. This is a miracle child. This is a child the man of God said would be born to this woman. And when she talked to the man of God, she said, don't do that to me. Don't mess with my mind that way. Don't mess with my emotions that way. You know I'm old and I've never had a child. Don't you tell me I'm going to have a child and it not come to pass. Amen. Now she's got him. But you know what? Come on, church. You know, I love y'all so much and y'all love me so much. And I know what y'all say every morning when you're walking out on Sunday. Y'all act like it's the best sermon I've ever heard. So I know you're listening. I know you like it. So I'm going to get past all that other stuff, all right? But let me tell you what. After a while, it is time to quit listening and start responding. Woo! And praising God, hallelujah, for what He's doing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something, young people. When you done early in your life, built a wall, built a
a house on your wall and a place for the man of God. Come on now. Amen. There's too many young people that are making room in their houses for too many other things. Amen. Come on now. Hear me preach. Let's pray about the first generation that's fixing to raise up another generation with TVs in the home. And I'm telling you, I hope you're praying about it real good because, amen, you're on new territory. What you better do is build something on the wall that you know God's going to stay in. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody help me preach now. Amen. Oh, yes. And when you run into trouble, if you already have a place built for the man of God, hallelujah, and the child falls sick and you need life, amen, that child was dead by the time they got him back to the house. But you know what she done? She went right into that room. Amen. That Holiday Inn Express and put that baby on the bed of the man of God. Hallelujah. And said, I know now that it's going to be all right because I got him in the right place. Oh, I'm telling you the remedy. Amen. Hear me preach. I'm giving you the remedy for dead families and dead marriages and dead churches. You got to build a house and a place for the man of God. Amen. And then when you need him, you call on him. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I believe there's life. I believe I feel life in the house. I believe I feel the breath of God and the wind of God blowing in here. And I promise you, if you'll let him breathe on you, it will change your life. Amen. Now, this is what the church needs to do when you have a dead church. Get him on the bed of the man of God. Send for the man of God wherever you have to go. Amen. Maybe her husband wasn't spiritual and he didn't understand. They sent back to him, we need a ride. Amen. We need transportation to go get the man of God. He said, it's not new moon. It's not the Sabbath. What are you doing? It ain't church night. It's not camp meeting. Why are you going to the man of God? It's because I have a need. We've got death in the house and we need to be revived. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish I could help somebody in here this morning. Hey, man, you know what happened? I don't have time to preach all of that. But sure enough, they got the man of God down there to where that child was. Oh, I could picture this in my mind while I was studying for this. If you can imagine a church, I'm not speaking necessarily about Bethany. I'm speaking about the New Testament church. That is much like the church at Sardis that had a testimony that they were alive, but still they were dead. My God, I wish I could preach in here this morning. We have a church. We have a structure in America that sends out missionaries, that feeds the hungry and clothes the naked. Amen. We have learned how to function even without Christ. My God, many churches are backslid. They're dead. They're dry. There's no passion. And they're still carrying on a name that they live. Oh, God. But they're dead. Oh, hallelujah. You know what a church like that needs? Oh, come on right now. Help me right now. Amen. When the man of God come in and that dead baby's laying or that dead church, I imagine this being the church laying lifeless. Amen. Oh, yes. And the man of God puts his mouth on his mouth and he read this. Amen. I got this verbatim. His eyes on his eyes. Amen. Oh, yes. His hands on his hands. And that skull, a cold steel form begin to warm up. Amen. Did that send a spark across anybody? I said that dead, cold form begin to warm up. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Wouldn't it be great if the New Testament church in America would get mouth-to-mouth resuscitation from Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost would breathe on us again?
Jesus. I said nothing will warm the church like Jesus. Amen. And it's good to get warm. Amen. It's good to feel that heat that's coming from Him. But I tell you what's better is when He breathes on you. Amen. And puts His life inside of you and makes you a living soul. Ooh. Holy, 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 holy. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, breathe on me. Amen. Come on, just say it with me. Amen. Say it with me if you really mean it. Breathe on me. Come on, let's see if the Holy Ghost will come a little closer to us. Breathe on me, oh breath of God. Come right on down where we are, Lord. Amen. Come right on down and show me. Amen. Come right on down. Amen. And let me know what you're going to do. I'm a little cold. I'm a little stiff. I'm a little unconcerned. I just need you to warm me up a little bit. Amen. But before you leave the house, breathe on me and say peace. Peace. Oh. Oh, hear me, church. We're used to the fire. We're born in the fire. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. When that child got on the life support from heaven, with the man of God's mouth to his mouth, the man of God's eyes to his eyes. Oh, come on. I'm staying right here, but I want you to get this picture. Amen. Because I want you to have the same attitude that I had in that rust-colored couch. I want you to say, do it, Lord. I want you to just stretch out your hands and your arms and say, just do it, Lord. Go ahead, Lord. Come on in my house, Lord. Come on, come on, come on in my house, Lord. We'll turn it off. We'll turn it down. Amen. We'll quit talking to the children that way. Amen. Me and my wife will quit calling each other names. Amen. Come on in our house, Lord. Amen. See if you can't warm things up a little bit in here. Amen. Amen. Mouth to mouth, eye to eye, hand to hand, till the child was warm. Amen. Woo! And then, ka-choo, 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 ka-choo. Somebody say, bless you. And somebody say, thank you. Oh, I tell you what would happen. I tell you what would happen. I mean, I don't have no ugly attitude, and I love everybody. Amen. I think that's one reason we can have a church as diverse as we can. Amen. Because I want people to keep coming because I want to keep preaching to them. And I want to keep loving them and want to encourage them. Amen. I tell you what would bring revival at Bethany. If a bunch of folks that I know that one time was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and had the gifts of the Spirit in operation in their life. I don't mean this mean, but there's some of you, I know you've got that. And I know those gifts, I've seen those gifts manifested in you. If you'd be honest with me right now, it's been so long since you felt that. It's been so long. Man, it's been so long since you felt like you wanted to stand up. Oh, come on now. If anybody's ever been used to give out a message in tongues, you know that feeling about sometimes. I mean, sometimes it happens in spontaneously and you don't even know it. But sometimes for a minute or two before, you can feel it and you know something's going to happen. Amen. You know. I'm just trying to talk to you a little bit because I know if that's ever happened to you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if it's been a long time, I'd just like to encourage you and love you and exhort you. Amen. Get on the bed of Jesus Christ, amen, and let Him touch you in a way that no one else can. And that breath comes in and we sneeze seven times. Brother, I'm telling you, I've told y'all so many times, there's very little difference in me and some other people I know, especially some people I grew up with and around when I was young. Amen. I love the holiness way. I love the holiness lifestyle. But I know, Brother James, there's only one way that people can really get it and really get it right. And that's if the breath of God comes on them. And if you don't get your standards that way, you've got nothing but Phariseeism and legalism. And you'll make the other dear ones that we're trying to reach, you'll make them hate it. Because you got it the wrong way. But if the breath of God, oh, I wish the church of the living God would sit up in the bed and sneeze 7 times and sneeze out all of that junk and all those blockages and all those people you remember that messed it all up. Amen. That got it wrong and made you look at it wrong. Amen. Come on back. There's a real, amen. There's a real Holy Ghost. There's a real genuine that makes you love everybody. It makes you love those that do you wrong. It makes you love the ways of God. It makes you want to do it. Amen. When I know people's really got it is when they start doing things without the preacher ever mentioning one word about it. And then when you get it and you stand up in testimony service and sneeze real big and tell what God done for you. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I tell you what, the pastor's going to be on his feet saying, praise God. Hallelujah. Sneeze it out. Could we worship God for just a moment? Worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him. Go on. Go on and worship Him. Go ahead. Lift your voice. Lift your voice and praise right now. Oh, God. We're a church that needs to be warmed up. We're a church that needs to be on fire. Hallelujah. Amen. Before Jesus left them in St. John chapter 20, amen, the word said, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe, hear me now, that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. I'm not trying to preach to you a code. I'm not trying to preach to you a standard. I am trying to preach to you Jesus Christ. And Jesus is alive. And he's alive. And he's alive. And his church wants to be like him. And they want to imitate him. And they want to look like him. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us. And most of all, we need to do the works of Jesus. Can you say amen? Holy, holy, holy. And I'm just about done. Amen. Y'all want to get ready to sing, brother? I'm ready. Woo! Amen. I don't know. I wish y'all were already standing, but I don't know. Maybe you should. Maybe we should. Maybe we should just all stand. Hallelujah. Oh, I wonder if I have a Pentecostal church right now. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Come on now. I'm telling you, this used to make the Holiness Church shout. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all, somebody say all. Amen. Somebody say it again. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm telling you, Brother Arnold, instead of being held up behind bars in a little room somewhere, amen, they were going on the streets. They walked out of, amen, out of that upper room and began to preach the gospel to the same old crowd that had just got through crucifying Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. What made the difference in their life? What brought them to life? From a dead church. Amen. From a church on life support. From a church that was about to take its last breath with nobody to cuddle them and nobody to encourage them. It was the breath and the wind of God. The breath of God blew on him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He spoke to him in John chapter 20. Said, peace be still. He breathed on them. Oh, hallelujah. That's wonderful. On the day of Pentecost, that breath come through there. Man. Oh. Like a rushing mighty wind. Whew. Whew. And right out of that wind came fire. Oh, somebody's not getting this picture. Yeah, I'm a little bit baffled and bewildered almost at somebody. Somebody's not coming out from between the pews saying, oh, thank God for the breath of life. Thank God for the wind of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for His working in my life. You know what? I wonder how you would feel right now if you could just feel the warm breath of Jesus Christ breathing down the back of your neck. Oh. Oh, Sister Jan, I get excited. I get excited about the wind of the Holy Ghost filling the whole house. I really do. And we like to stop and preach right there. But I tell you what, it'd do me a lot of good if I could just feel His breath, His warm breath on me, warming me up, mellowing me out. I wonder what that would do for us. Before we get back to prayer meeting tonight, if somewhere Jesus Christ would just come into where we are. He would just come into our little room that we've got locked up, that we've got locked away. In the midst of your trial and your turmoil, and He'd just breathe on you and say, peace be still. I tell you what I think would happen. It wasn't too many days, Brother Bruce, from St. John chapter 20 to Acts chapter 2. When it come like a rushing mighty wind. Would the saints of God lift your hands all over this house this morning, wherever you are? Come on, Brother James, sing that, Sister Sarah, sing that song.